Welcome to Joy of Business Radio, hosted by Joy of Business facilitators from around the world, with special shows from Simone Milicis, the founder and creator of Joy of Business. Are you bored or dissatisfied with your work or business? Joy of Business is an invitation to a completely new way of creating. Did you know your business and job can actually be fun and joyful? If what you are currently doing isn't working for you, listen into this show full of pragmatic tools from Access Consciousness, which change everything in business, from money to finance, staff, creativity, productivity, communication, and beyond. Joy of Business Radio, weekly on Om Times Radio.
Hello and welcome to this week's Joy of Business radio show. I'm your host this week, Melanie Mead. I'm a Joy of Business certified facilitator. For those of you who've been listening to the show, I've been on a few times before, but this week I am bringing somebody on that you might not have met, what I would say, yet. I have the wonderful Fiona Holden, who I have known for years. She is one of many things, but to me, she is a quiet creator, which is something we actually have in common, Fiona. But she's also an Access Bars facilitator and an Access Consciousness facelift facilitator. Now, this is one of many things you do, Fiona, but this is probably where we'll use it as the entry point for people to get to know you. The fascinating thing about you is you love questions.
Yes, I absolutely adore questions, and it's absolutely brilliant to be on this morning as well. So questions for me are the source of everything and what I suppose moves everything forward for me. And, you know, I was even thinking about this last night as to what was it that really intrigued me about them. And I've always asked questions. Way back when I was younger, always asked questions. However, when I say I asked questions, it was in my head. I'd be trying to figure out how something worked, or why was this happening, or why was that happening, or, you know, always in my head having these conversations. However, what I was doing when I was younger was actually trying to figure out the answer. So I was logically trying to find a solution or find the answer to the questions, all the amazing questions I had. And that is where I really locked myself up, because the thing is that that's not where the awarenesses are, or that's not where the answers are. And I suppose the first time that things changed for me was when I was younger. I used to be very, very sick with asthma and chest infections. And I would have a track worn down to the doctors every 3 to 4 weeks. And I go down, he'd know why I was there. I get the same prescription, and 3 weeks later I'd be back down again. So It was like being in a loop, and it just didn't seem right. And I remember one day coming out from the doctors with that same prescription, and this was going on years, and just asking something like, wow, is this it? Is there not something else out there, or what else is there? And that was the start of things changing for me, where somebody mentioned something to me and suggested that I look at something else just to get help with the asthma. And that was it. I rang them up, and that was the starting point, and it started to change everything. And that's where I stopped judging myself and making myself wrong for not being able to figure out the answers to the all the amazing questions I had from a logical point of view.
And it's amazing, because what struck me there when you were talking was, like, you know, every week you're going down, it's run of the mill, like it's almost a predictable scenario. I'm sure every time you went down, you almost knew you were going back. And a lot of people actually don't get to that point that you actually got to, was you didn't have an answer. You didn't know what was next, but you knew that there had to be something else available. And I think that's actually the key to asking questions. And like, you've created a lot in your life and various businesses over the years, using things like questions to your advantage, which we'll, you know, share with people on the show or whatever. But I think the first key point here is for people to realize, no matter what's going on, and a lot of the time we focus on the bad, but it could also be like when things are going really well, there is still so much more available if you're willing to actually, you know, take that outlook that you took and went, hang on a second, you know, what else is there? Is this really it for me?
Absolutely. And I suppose one thing that springs to mind is in one of the jobs that I was working in most recently, up to 2 years ago, it was actually a weight loss company. And I was the area manager, which involved in recruitment and training of team members and supporting them. So there was a lot of travel involved, and it did take up a lot of time. It was a fairly full-on position. There was a lot of hours in it. And at the start, I loved it. And this was correlated at the same time that I started, access consciousness and trained in access bars, which was absolutely fabulous. And it was so busy that I suppose, like a lot of people, I'd have a list of things to do every day. And to be honest with you, even if I got up at the crack of dawn and said, I'm going to stay here until I complete this list, there was no way I was going to get through the list. It just wasn't feasible. And like that, I was in that space of, do you know what? I really want this to be ease. What is it going to take for this to be more ease? And I really didn't want to be spending 16 hours trying to get through the list. Yeah. So one of my favorite questions was, what from this list can I choose today that's going to create the most for me in the least amount of time? So it was kind of going straight in there with, you know what, what's going to be the simplest way here to move forward? And I used to laugh when I'd ask the question because I used to use it a lot. Mm-hmm. And it was absolutely mind-blowing what it created. Sometimes what I would notice maybe by the after lunch on that day or the days I would use it, that the one item that I would have chosen or task that I would have chosen to take and work on or create with was the one that actually knocked a lot of the other items off the list. And it was the one that was the most effective as well. And it was mind blowing. And I still laugh at that because I still use that question and I absolutely love it.
Yeah, no, and it's amazing how simple things can be because, you know, if somebody is like in their head and they're stressed and you're like, just ask this question, you know, that kind of way, you know, they're almost thinking like, is she crazy? Can't she see how much I have to do or, you know, on the high pressure that I'm on or whatever. But like you've had various different types of jobs over the years. The one thing that always struck me about you, Fiona, is you're very calm by nature. Like, were you always this calm?
I guess I have been and always have been. And it's actually, this is a funny story I'm going to share. It's something that happened only earlier on in the summer. And it's not actually work related as such, but I think it really goes back to this using the simplicity of the tools and also the fact that I know when I use the questions and, you know, to create more and to bring more ease that is what it does. So I have a full trust and knowing in that. So I think that's where the sense of calm comes from, because I know that they actually create more and that they do what it says in the tin. It does actually do the job, you know, that it opens up the awareness. Earlier on in the summer, my partner took a fall here in the house and he basically, without going into gory details, he hurt his ankle. There was a big, massive cut and there was a tile actually sticking out of his side of his heel. And it was, to be honest with you, it was like a Halloween scene. It was a Friday evening and I was downstairs and he was upstairs and he called me up and he just said, oh, you know, I saw what had happened and I was there. Oh, dear God. And I wasn't sure if it was bring it to the doctor or bring him straight into A&E, and time was of the essence here. Mm-hmm. So it was interesting. We had a neighbor who does a lot of first aid and called him and he came up and he was doing his poker face, which is what I call it, where he was looking to stay calm. And I knew that he was concerned about what was going on, and what he was doing was just putting on a bandage just to manage what was going on so that I could bring him into the hospital. And it was interesting because afterwards we met them, we just dropped in to say thank you for helping us. And he turned around and he said, wow, you stayed really calm in that situation. Mm-hmm. And I said, the questions that I asked that day was, who can I contact to create, you know, for this to be ease? And it was his name that popped. And then when he was there, you know, helping us, I kind of said, you know, I asked a few questions in that sense. And also, you know, he gave me the pieces of information I required. Whereas mm-hmm. by me actually going into overwhelm and getting stuck in my head and getting caught up in what had happened, it wasn't going to change anything. So it was my belief and my trust in knowing that those questions were going to, you know, bring more ease for us was what brought us through. And I fully believe in that as well, you know, and it's building that muscle, you know, when using the questions.
Yeah, like, because when you're talking there, like, because I was only thinking this the other day, like just slightly deviating from the topic, but I don't have much exposure to, say, like those kind of emergency situations, and you often like wonder what's available, but rather than trying to preempt possible future catastrophes, what you're talking about here is so much better, because you get to get on with your life, and this is true in life or in business, and you get to get on with creating rather than getting concerned and caught up in what should they call it, you know, when you have to plan all the possible outcomes and a plan of action for each one. So if this happens, we do A. If this happens,
oh,
we do
A. Yeah.
You know, I can't think of the word right now, but what you're showing me there is that thing, because I laugh, because sometimes you think, oh, I don't have experience in like a life situation like that, or in a business situation like this, or whatever, family situation like XYZ. And what actually is like, it's actually fine, because as you said, like the universe has your back. The information is actually only ever a question away. What came up when you were talking there, Fiona, and like in about a minute or so we'll be heading to an ad break, so I'd prefer to go into it afterwards. It's a muscle, but it's like listening to the whispers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like a big neon sign comes in, or you know, like the booming voice from outside, you know, like your neighbor shows up miraculously or whatever. It's actually really that level of trust and that kind of the subtlety of it creates an awful lot, because a lot of the time I find we actually wait for the pressing issue, the loud noises, the, you know, the ones where people are banging down the door, or, you know, screaming for stuff, for us to actually take action. But what you're talking about there is really like taking action with the whispers. And after the break too as well, maybe if you could share, maybe if things don't go to plan, because it's not about getting it right, it's about taking action on the awareness that you have and moving, and like always staying in the question, because that, like, you know, you've done a lot, and I've heard you tell, you know, me different stories before of how you have used tools and how you have used question to actually create something different. So what we'll do is we'll go to the ad break, and when we come back we might pick it up from there. Sound good?
Cool, sounds like a plan.
No one needs to have a money problem, especially you.
Yeah, did you hear that? You. You have an unlimited and mostly unaccessed capacity to create money and a financial reality that works for you. Simone Millicis has a brand new book. It's called Getting Out of Debt Joyfully. And right now, when you go to gettingoutofdebtjoyfully.com, if you pre-order the book, you'll get a free online course. What if you can create money in ways no one else can? Just go to gettingoutofdebtjoyfully.com to get your copy today.
Host your show on IOM-FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM-FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Aloha, my name is Jennifer O'Neill, and I'd like to invite you to come join me every Wednesday at 10 a.m. Hawaii Standard Time for my show, Spirit Chat. Spirit Chat focuses on simplifying the process of using the spiritual tools and gifts you were born with in a way that fits into your everyday life. I also teach different techniques that will help you learn how to navigate the spirit realm and empower you on your own spiritual journey. So join me this Wednesday as I guide you through the spirit world.
The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. The cutting edge of conscious radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
And welcome back to the Joy of Business radio show. You're still with me, your host, Melanie Mead, and I'm here with Fiona Holden, and we're actually talking about getting out of your head. The first part of the show, Fiona was sharing how much she absolutely loves the power of question, and this is the one thing she does to get out of her head. And you've created a lot, Fiona, a lot with using question. So I'm looking forward to sharing all these scenarios that you have, because you have some really good stories about you know, using question to actually create, you know, something easier and something more. But just before the break, what I was hoping you would touch on next will be that thing about like listening to the whispers, like not having to have it a big loud, you know, neon lights, big parade giving you the information, but that the information is always there. And also the other side of it too is like it's taking the action, and it's not always about getting it right, if you get what I mean. So like what you're saying is you ask a question, you get an awareness, you take an action, and then from that action something else occurs. But by you consistently asking questions, there's a flow to it rather than a stop, if you get what I mean.
Yeah. And it, like you said there, I don't always get it right. And you know, for example, I can remember in that job I talked about, the most recent one in the weight loss company, towards the end of that, before I actually chose to leave and go on to, you know, other projects, it didn't work for me. And, you know, I was choosing and I was asking questions. The thing was that for some reason I had gone back into judgment like I used to do before, and I wasn't, I suppose, listening to those whispers that were coming through, and it wasn't a nice place to be. Now, thankfully, I started asking more questions or different questions, and those were about what can I do with this? What else can I choose here? And you know, it's like if anyone is feels like they're in a loop and they're going around in circles, even though they're asking questions, it could be that the question they're asking isn't going to bring that awareness up, or maybe they're not willing to listen to what the awarenesses are that are popping. So yeah, I kind of focused on that and got the awareness when I did ask questions that, you know what, I'm asking the same questions and I'm not actually listening or not hearing or becoming aware of the, you know, the awarenesses that are popping for me. And I suppose when that popped for me, then what I did was, you know what can I do different here?
Yeah,
it's the doing different was what started to change things up.
So, and it's like that scenario again when you were young and you had the asthma, like you just knew something needed to change, and just flipping it ever so slightly. Like it doesn't have to be like a huge massive, you know, 180. It could be ever the slightest tweak that just takes you a little bit, like that changes tracks.
Absolutely.
That would give you what you need to, yeah.
Absolutely. And I suppose before, like I have a background in architecture. I've over 20 years working in the building and architecture. And that reminds me of one situation that happened a long time ago. It was around Easter, and usually here in Ireland, the builders go on holidays for 2 weeks at Easter. And one particular builder that the company I was working with, he would always call a meeting on the Thursday of the Easter weekend before they went on holidays. And it was usually just to ensure that everyone had enough information to keep going with the projects while they were gone away. So any projects we were working on in the office. And usually my boss would go to that meeting, and I used to always hear that it could take 3 or 4 hours and they'd come away and they would be none the wiser and have no real direction for, you know, the coming weeks. So this particular Easter, my boss decided or nominated or chose me to go because he wanted to go on his holidays. And I was like, oh, dear God, oh, no. And I couldn't say no. So I remember sitting in the car park before I went into this particular meeting. And usually there could be 10 or 12 men at the meeting. And there was going to be myself as well, the only female on top of everything else. And I had a list of the agenda that had to be covered. And I remember sitting in the car. And I actually out loud asked the question, what can I do or be here so that we're actually out the gap in less than an hour and that everyone is leaving with the information they require to move the projects forward?
Yeah.
And I went in, and I guess the awareness I got as I walked in was that it was really up to me that if anyone went off topic from the agenda, that I would ask a question, as in out loud to them, yeah, to bring them back to task. And I remember walking in the door going, okay, yeah, that's possible. And it's not something I would have normally been called to do. And I kind of went, okay, how can I do this so that it doesn't look like I'm doing it? And it was an amazing thing. I would love to have, it was almost like I was a fly in the wall for the meeting, because literally every time they started to stray off topic, and they were very good at straying off topic, I would say something or ask a question in a warm, caring way that brought it back to topic. And next thing, we were coming up to the hour and we had covered everything off that was on the agenda. And I was kind of going, oh my, maybe we will get out in 60 minutes.
Yeah.
And they actually finished the meeting in 60 minutes. And I remember walking out the door that day going, wow, that was off the charts. I love this stuff. And looking over my shoulder and actually seeing all the men inside the room, and they were standing up and they were kind of, you know, packing up their bits and pieces, and they were like looking at each other, but they didn't really know what had happened. They weren't quite sure.
Yeah.
You know, but they still knew that they were finished and they were leaving in the hour, and they were like, okay. And I just walked out because I was happy out with myself, and everyone had the information they required. And I was just going, wow, this is mind blowing. A question, a simple question, can create so much.
No, totally. And like, again, what you're showing here again too, is when you're looking to look at things, so without a point of view, and you're looking, willing to look at things just different, because a lot of people will go, this is going to take 4 hours. We have to sit here for 4 hours. It's not going to be completed if we don't sit here for 4 hours. And ask a different question. And it's not like you came in with the hammer going, you know, boom, boom, boom. But it was like, let's bring it back to the thing. And you can almost like my take on that would nearly have been, they were nearly like, not necessarily consciously, but choosing that because that's the way it was always done, rather than realizing, you know, basically, you know, stick to the task at hand, and we're all out the door and we get to go home. Because that's probably essentially where they all wanted to be. You know what I mean?
Absolutely, especially that long weekend. And I suppose as I'm sharing that story there with you, I just kind of went, oh my God, that was so much fun. And that's what gives me the buzz to continue playing with questions and asking questions, because it's almost like I'm being cheeky by doing it. That's my sense, but it's the energy, it's from the energy of fun and playfulness.
Yeah.
And you know, even like the show is called The Joy of Business, and it's essentially that, because you know, like you said, they were expecting it to be 4 hours and that they were going to have to sit there and plow on through, and you know, this was what the way it was done. I had so much joy in my heart walking out the door that day, and because the same end result had been achieved where everyone got what they required.
Yeah.
And it was so much easier. And the fun part of it for me was that I don't even think they realized that by me asking those questions or to bring it back to the topic at hand was what had actually brought it around in the hour. And I didn't need an acknowledgement. It wasn't a requirement, but that's why I love the fact that I can just kind of keep motoring on and just playing with the questions and how powerful they are. And just you know, simplicity, keeping it simple is my mantra as well, and the ease and joy of it.
Oh, without a doubt. And it's so funny you say that too, because you'd notice that a lot people will always try to look at the why. Like, why that was only an hour or why such and such a thing occurred. And it's usually, they never really notice that a question can be so powerful.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Yeah. And that's the thing about creating, Fiona, and as well, like I said at the start of the show, we have something in common. We're like quiet creators. It's like you just get on with it.
A lot of the time,
like, hey, no, it's because I ask, you know, amazing, awesome questions and blah, 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 you know, and it's like, hey, happy days. What next? What next?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Next? You know, it's just, I just think I have so much fun with those questions. And it's not that I have to ask 10 questions to, you know, for these things to change. Sometimes it's one question will open up the possibility for something else. And sometimes less is more.
Yeah.
And it's that knowing and having my back as well is the big part of it. Because this I know that it'll always come true.
Yeah.
Come true for me, that, you know, the awarenesses will pop. Mm-hmm. And like, interestingly there, I was at a conference or a meeting, it was 5 or 6 years ago, and a friend of mine went with me. And it's interesting because I knew most of the people in the room and everyone had a piece of information to deliver. And halfway through the meeting, my friend turned around and she said to me, "You haven't said one thing since you came into this meeting, and it's been going on, whatever, 30 minutes, 40 minutes. And I was like, "Yeah, I know." She said, "I don't understand that." She said, "I thought you'd be asking questions and, you know, doing this." And I actually thought about it for a little bit. And then I realized that in actual fact, you know, it's going back to the quiet creator as well. It's like the act of listening is a huge part. Mm-hmm. And it's sometimes it's, you know, people are saying things, and sometimes people feel they need to fill space, and sometimes they feel they need to be talking, to be seen, and saying a lot of different things. And this is what was going on in the room. And for me, it was just listening and actively listening to what they were actually saying, but also the energy of what was behind it, and maybe mm-hmm. what they wanted to say and the gaps in between, you know.
Yeah.
And I did ask a question towards the end of the meeting, you know, as I knew it was coming to a close, because there was one vital piece of information that nobody had actually touched on and that everybody required.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very, like, a very clear question. And it changed things when I did ask the question. And it's not that I had to justify it as well. So again, it's like, it's a balance of, you know, sometimes one question is enough to open up the door to what's next, as opposed to 10 or 12 to fill space, or, you know, if I ask 10 questions, it'll move things faster. It doesn't.
Yeah.
And then it's the kind of balance of that, of actually, you know, the act of listening. And it's not just listening to the words, it's listening to what people are saying, maybe trying to say, and, you know, the energy of why are they saying it, and what's their requirement, and what's actually required as well for that meeting or that actual, you know, gathering of people.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's fascinating.
No, it is. And that's something I love talking about, is the act of listening. It's a huge gift if you're willing to use it. But what we're going to do now is we're going to go to our halfway mark of the show. We're just going to hit the next break. And after that, we'll be back with a little bit more. So we'll talk to you then.
Cool.
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Tune in to The Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World, with me, host Robin Fritz, Mondays at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. I'll cover personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice, and more, all to help you tap your own intuitive and healing skills. No ifs, ands, or buts.
Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Putting the fun back in business. Wake up, go to work, come home, watch TV, go to bed, repeat. Business, work, your job, hate it, bored, want to leave it? Or business, work, your job, fun, play, joy, fun. Which would you like to choose? You may not know this, but business, your job, work can actually be fun. Check out your business routine. Check out my 3-part free video series on putting the fun back in business. Go to accessjoybusiness.com/fun and put the fun back in business.
Connecting you with the best of the conscious minds in the world. OM Times Radio. IOM FM.
And welcome back. You're still here with me, Melanie Mead, and I am still here with Fiona Holden talking about some of my favorite things. And what you were talking about before the break, Fiona, was this thing about like active listening, you know, like watching everything that's going on. And it's so funny because you'll hear a lot of the time of people all the reasons they don't want to choose something. Like, so for example, I work in social media and a lot of people would be like, oh, I hate social, yet they're always kind of on it. Or they might look at somebody's post and say, what are they talking about? You're like, all this weird stuff comes up. But actually it's awareness. You're aware of everything. Not even like you were saying before the break, words coming out of people's mouths. You know, you might be aware if somebody's proving or if somebody's holding back. And a lot of the time when we're not willing to come out of our wrongness and come out of judgment and just look at everything as information, things get a little wonky and warped. Do you find that's the same?
100%. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. And it's, you know, it's when someone says, oh, I can't do that, or I don't know how to do that. It's like they're closing off something that probably would explode for them or create more possibilities as well. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, I know as well that when I was trying to figure stuff out linearly and I was going up into my head, it was mm-hmm. really, really uncomfortable. And it was exhausting, absolutely exhausting. And yet, when I think about it years ago, you know, when I was younger and probably didn't have the information that I have now around energy and awarenesses and that it can be so easy. Mm-hmm. The only way that I was able to get out of my head back then was actually by drawing pictures. And it was through that I was able to almost like translate all the questions that I had and kind of process them. And, you know, making myself wrong for not having the answers was absolutely huge. And I think here in Ireland, especially in the school system, it's like, you know, having to have the answers right or wrong and logically be able to justify how you came with the answer. So that really didn't assist me either along the way. And it's just the way the school system is. It is what it is. Mm. And, you know, it just reminds me of when I was in secondary school. And in our first year in secondary school, we got to have we got an opportunity to try different subjects across the board. Like some would have been male orientated, some would have been, you know, domestic science or kind of home economics and cooking and all those type of things. And one of the subjects I got the opportunity to actually try out in first year was mechanical drawing. So that's where you could draw lines and you use a ruler and scale and it's on a drawing board. Uh-huh. And I absolutely loved it. Mm-hmm. And as the year was going on, I was kind of going, what was very unusual was that everyone else in the class was getting locked up in trying to figure out how to complete the different exercises in the mechanical drawing. And yet I could just pick up a pencil and a ruler and just complete the task. And then they were asking me how I did it and I couldn't tell them.
Yeah.
And it was so much fun. And I didn't really read much into it until the following year we had to choose our subjects. And for some reason, I kind of went, you know what, I'm going to choose that because it's so much fun and so easy. And I had no other reason. It wasn't that, the outcome was going to be that when I completed school, that I was going to be whatever it was based on my subjects. It was purely, that was fun. It's easy. I don't have to study it. I'm on the boat. And that's what I chose. And I realize now that it was like, I didn't, in those times, I wasn't actually judging myself. I was literally, it was so natural to me. It was I was just in the flow, or, you know, following awarenesses. And it was the joy that I got from it. Yeah. And then there would have been other subjects that I literally had to logically try and figure out. And I used to get so knotted up in, and I used to be sweat coming out through me because I was judging myself. And if I couldn't get the answer, I was really, really making myself wrong from it. So yeah, that's the kind of the other end of the scale as to what can happen, you know, when we don't ask questions.
Oh, without a doubt. And like, I would have been the same in school with particular things. And like, it sounds absolutely ludicrous that I'm going to be saying this now, but I didn't even know. Do you know what I mean? Like, we're so busy trying to get it right and giving people what they need. That it's within you all along. And like, I'm a mother now, like my son is, Jesus, he's 18 now, he's quite old, but like, when he gets frustrated about things like that, I'm like, give them what they need and then move on to what you want to do, because it's not about rejecting everything either. So it's not an either or, but it is like, and but even people I create with nowadays, Fiona, they just require things in a particular way that works for them. And once you listen to those whispers and you ask a question, you look at stuff, it's not about giving yourself up. And like, I mean, school is like, you're taught how to be wrong and how to get it right so well that it is ingrained. And to this day, I would still, there's things I would still, that would still, you know, pop up in the motion of things or whatever, where you start to realize, oh, hang on a second, you know, I might need to ask a question here, because either making myself wrong or less than, or I've put, you know, somebody else on a pedestal in this particular scenario, rather than actually, you know, looking at what I know. And like, and it's really as simple as asking a question, you know what I mean? So I know in theory, when you're stressed or you're not feeling so great about yourself, or you're wondering, you know, how to sort a situation, it might sound a little simplistic, but it's actually the God honest truth. Like, to come out of judgment, it's to realize you're not wrong. And it's to actually ask a question, like, what else is possible here I've never considered before? Or my favorite one is, what's right about this I'm not getting?
Absolutely. And, you know, it's, I guess, as well as that, like, a lot of companies out there have protocols and like checklists and, you know, boxes that have to be ticked to complete tasks. And, you know, I suppose going back to that situation where, you know, on the Easter weekend when I was nominated to go to that meeting, they obviously had their little checklist and we used to doing it that way. And obviously I came in with a totally different approach as regards what's the easiest here. And even bringing it into today's, into current situation, it's a lot of companies are probably like that, where there's a lot of box ticking going on. And, you know, with the weight loss company that I actually worked with, for the first year and a half, I would have been all about it was always about asking the questions and, you know, creating the most with the least amount of, in the least amount of time that would be of ease for everybody. Mm-hmm. And the thing was that it's when they started putting checklists in front of me and kind of really tightened up on protocols that's where things changed for me. And I kind of started to kind of maybe go back into judgment, or, you know, kind of trying to use the tools or asking questions, but not really asking them. And I suppose the great thing here is that I'm totally all about creating more now by asking questions, no matter where I am. And sometimes people kind of think, oh, do you know what, we're just going to use them when to come out of crappy situations. But in actual fact, like you mentioned earlier, it's really about going, do you know what, why always focus on that side of it? Okay, there will be, but once you're out of them, then instead of recreating more of that stuff, ask what's possible now. How can you have fun creating something? What is it you really want to do? how would you like that to be? And interestingly, even in the last couple of weeks, I've kind of really played with this even more. So I just said, mm-hmm. you know what, I really have fun playing with questions. You know, what can I ask or what can I do differently? And, you know, just asking a few different questions around, you know, projects I'm working on at the moment, and what would be the energy of what I'd like to create, you know, what would that energy be like? And even in the last 2 or 3 weeks, just things are starting to show up, or possibilities are coming my way that I would never have seen before, or could not have seen them coming from those places.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people are in the position of they'd say no because they might automatically want to say no because they're going, oh my God, I couldn't possibly do that. But in my sense, it's like, hell yeah, I'm going to give it a go. Mm-hmm. What else is possible? Yeah. And that's the beauty of this. That's where the joy is, I think, as well. It's like, you know, yes, it is amazing to help come out of tricky situations or uncomfortable situations, but these questions are amazing, are using questions in all areas of our lives. And it's just, sometimes we may forget to use them, yeah. or we may go back up into our heads. And it's like, oh, what can I do here so that I don't go back up into my head, that I have the awareness to ask a question, just one yeah. question even.
And you touched on it there, Fiona, and it's actually, I suppose it's the difference between creating more and not. There's a difference between just asking a question and actually asking a question. You know what
yes.
I mean? Do you have any, like, what would you say about that?
Well, the thing is that, you know, I could have like 5 or 6 manuals of different techniques here in front of me, and I could read them cover to cover and think, oh my gosh, they're amazing. And I may have seen them in action, you know, when I was at different trainings. Mm-hmm. They're never going to come to life if I just read about them. I mean, that's like having a toothbrush and toothpaste and never brushing your teeth. It's just not going to happen. You know, it's just not going to do it. It's not going to deliver for you.
Yeah.
Whereas actually, you know, this goes back to the, you know, instead of asking 10 questions just because, mm-hmm. in actual fact, by asking a question and, you know, backing yourself as well, or backing, you know, when I back myself and ask a question, mm-hmm. and from the energy of what I'm, you know, looking to create, it's different, because what it is I'm choosing from the menu, or I'm actually choosing. I'm not just asking a question because I'm not being linear about it. Go, well, she said ask a question. I've asked a question and nothing happened. You know, it's different. Yeah. I'm backing myself. Mm-hmm. I'm using the questions. I'm asking questions because I'm looking for the next door to kind of open even a little piece, so that there possibly be a piece of information there, or something will pop that will get me to the next piece of the picture. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's the energy of creation, and it's so much fun. It's the energy and the joy of that creation is what really floats my boat. And because I've seen it so many times in my own life, where mm-hmm. one simple, and the simple part of it is, I love that it's so simple. One simple question can create more, and it's receiving what's presented then as well.
Yeah. And the one thing that popped there, when you were talking to, it's like you're taking action the whole time. So you're an active participant in the ask of the question. Like, you're not just asking it and putting it out into the ethers. And one of the greatest things I was reiterated again recently when I was listening to something was, like, you know, you're not asking the question for something or somebody else to fix it for you. You're asking so you actually get the awareness of what you can be or do or ask or whatever for it to change. You know?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it's literally, I'm owning, I'm choosing for me. Choosing for me. And, you know, it's like, I don't listen to like the local radio stations here anymore. And I don't watch any of those programs on television. You know, like they're on 3 times a week. Like, well, you know, the kind of, it's all doom and gloom, because people are in the cycle of that. And I stopped doing it for years ago. And it's like, I know there's so much more out there. And when I recall or bring to mind the energy, the time and the energies that I really, really had the joy, and it reminds me of how amazing it felt. I kind of went, you know what, I'm asking for that. I'm choosing that every single day. And I suppose just one other thing is popping there for me. In one of the last more recent job, well, up till about 3 years ago, jobs I had that we chatted about earlier, it was crazy busy days and hours. And like, I used to look in my diary and if there was something going on, like a family invitation to a party, I was booked up with work meetings and situations that I had to, well, inverted commas, had to attend or be present at for up to 3 or 4 months ahead. And then a birthday party invitation might come in or a family event would come up and I couldn't be there. And it was heartbreaking because, you know, it's not just all about work. It's about every part of your life. And we went on holidays and it was a 2 week holiday. And I suppose because I was working so much, there was money coming in and just 5-star all inclusive, literally get into the hotel and going for spa treatments. And it was absolutely amazing. And by about day 9 or 10 of the 2 week holiday, I remember we were walking along and in my head, I just kind of went, wow, is this it? Yeah. Like 2 weeks out of 52 weeks of every year, is this it, that I have the energy of the joy and the ease and the peace, and I have to travel to another country and pay loads of money for that? And I kind of went, you know what, this isn't right. And I remember turning around to my husband and saying to him, I actually said, is this it? And he was looking at me going, what are you talking
asking
about?
For a divorce?
Yeah, exactly. And he kind of did the whole eyebrow thing. And I said, no, I said, you know, this is absolutely beautiful here. And I said, it's amazing having the time and the space and the energy is so light and it's just so amazing. Mm-hmm. And I said, is this it? 2 weeks of every 52 weeks of the year that we can have, I can have this, that we can have this. Why can't it be 50 weeks of the year? Why can't it be 52 weeks of the year?
Yeah.
And he kind of said, well, what's possible? Now he didn't say what else is possible, but he said something to the effect like, well, what do you know is possible?
Yeah.
And I kind of went, okay, I got it. So from that point on, my driver or my everything that after that was all about, okay, what question can I ask here that's going to create more? What's going to change this around? What's it going to be like? And I could have gone into conclusion and judgment of, oh my God, that's a big truck to turn around. It's not going to happen. It's going to take X amount of years or whatever.
Yeah.
I didn't. I just stayed in the question and I just went, okay, just by him saying that to me and bringing it into my awareness, that I kind of went, you know what? What's it going to take for this to be 50 weeks of the year instead of 2 weeks of the year? Or what's it going to take for this to be 52 weeks of the year? And why not? So, yeah.
Exactly. No, I love that. I love it. We're going to go to the next ad break. And when we come back, I actually want to ask you about something particular. So be back in a moment.
Cool.
What do you hate about business? And do you want to change it? If you don't want to change anything about your job or business, stop listening. You're all good. If you'd like to have money just for the fun of it and stop the negative self-talk, check out Joy of Business. This is about knowing what you know about business and creating more than you can imagine. Access Joy of Business 101 classes offered around the world. Go to accessjoyofbusiness.com/101.
As difficult as it is to believe, there are places in Africa where human traffickers sell albino children and their body parts for use in magic rituals. Humanity Healing International is actively working in Uganda to change this paradigm. The Albino Rescue Project finds albino children who are at risk and places them in safe schools and environments where they can learn and grow free from fear. To learn more or to sponsor a child, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is. Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at Om Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. Om Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Hello, I'm Lisa Berry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for, that new understanding that will enhance your life, and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me, and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
And welcome back to the final part of this week's Joy of Business radio show, where I'm here. My name is Melanie Mead, in case you've missed it. I'm with Fiona Holden, and we're actually talking about getting out of your head and kind of into question, and how Fiona has used that throughout her life and the various businesses that she's worked in. And just before the break, she got to that really sweet spot of, you know, asking for more, of realizing that, you know, it's not just 2 weeks out of the year that you get to have fun. It's like, what if every day was extremely enjoyable and that you didn't have to stress out the whole time to get those moments of peace and actually maybe pursue a life that you enjoy. And like, I've known you for quite a few years, Fiona, but like the one thing I know you love doing right now is things like access bars and you know, the energetic facelift and all these amazing tools that we have. So before we go any further, I would like you to let people know where they can find you, and then I would love to know how these tools for you help create more ease for other people. Like this is one of the jobs that you actually are currently playing in.
Okay, so I have a website, fionaholden.com, so that's one place people can find me. I'm actually based in Ireland, and I'm also listed on the accessconsciousness.com website. My profile is up there. So yeah, that's where people can find me. I'm also on Facebook. But yeah, you mentioned about access bars and the energetic facelift. I absolutely adore access bars, receiving the process and also working with clients and family and friends. It's what allows the momentum to continue alongside using, I suppose, the tools and asking all those amazing questions that we were talking about earlier. And it's just that the bars are so simple. Again, I keep using that word. I feel like I'm oversaying it, but it just does. It's really because I'm so passionate about it. Mm-hmm. And the fact that, you know, receiving an access bar session, actually getting my bars run, is just so amazing and so relaxing. And it's on the same energy line as what I asked for that time when I was on holidays, kind of choosing the energy, choosing all the time towards the energy and following the energy of lightness and having ease in my life every day, not just for 2 weeks of the year. And you know what? The Access Energetic Facelift absolutely is amazing. Yeah. Recently, a friend of mine, who's male, actually received, I actually did an energetic facelift on him. Mm-hmm. And to be honest with you, I just wanted to, you know, just run the energy of it because it's so amazing. Yeah. And I suppose when people hear energetic facelift, they start thinking about, oh, like they can go into kind of conclusion of, oh, it's for, you know, getting the eyes and all that. And it does, yeah, on a physical level. Mm-hmm. When he got off the massage table after receiving the energetic facelift, mm-hmm, he said to me, and he has had his bars run before, yeah, he said to me, that is the most relaxing session I have ever had.
Yeah.
Ever. And he actually has said it to me two or three times since when I have spoken with him. And yeah, so much so that I reckon if I said to him, if you were coming for, you know, for your next session, would you choose to receive an energetic facelift or a bar session? And for him, it was the relaxation side of it.
Yeah.
You know, so like they're both amazing. And I absolutely love them. And every single time somebody receives a bar session or comes to a class, mm-hmm, and learns the process, it's just mind-blowing what's created in those spaces.
Yeah.
And it's, again, it's the simplicity of it and the fact that sometimes people disregard it because we say it's a simple process to learn and it can be so effective. But yet it's exactly what they're probably asking for, but maybe the penny hasn't dropped just yet. So yeah.
And it's been like the theme of the radio show, and it might be annoying, but it's like life simplified, you know what I mean? We can spend forever trying to look for answers or find the right, you know, whatever, but these questions and tools and then these processes like bars and facelift, they're phenomenal. Because like when you were talking about the guy there getting the facelift, like I remember when I first got my bars run and stuff, like just even that level of relaxation, the clarity that that comes with it, you can handle so much more. And I was laughing because I'll finish the show on this now, but I was in the car this morning dropping my son to school. As I said, he's 18, he's no baby, like, and he was on about one of his friend's moms, and he was like, I can't believe she's going to be 50. And I was like, okay, so what's 50 to you? Like, and he was like, no, he goes, I don't know. Like, he goes, there's some people that just seem their age, and there's some people that seem younger. And I turned 40 this year. And I goes, do I seem 40? And he was like, hell no. He was like, no way. And I was laughing because one part is that learned perspective of what the age person looks like. But what he was actually tapping into was, and I know this other woman he's talking about, there's a particular flexibility in the way that we think, the way that we look at life, the way that we approach things. You ultimately feel younger. You know what I mean? Like you have more zest for life. And this isn't like parting hard to the late hours of the morning. It just naturally brings in a joy and enthusiasm that's extremely attractive to people. And not like in the sense of taking somebody out for a date, but it's intriguing, it's endearing. And people actually really enjoy that side of people is what I find. But what you find is, you don't look at your life ticking down, you know, to the end date. You actually keep going, there's so much more there. What else is there? And not from that place of wrongness, but from that place of possibility. And like, if I was to, I can describe bars and facelift in so many ways, but that's one way I would say it. It just brings about this ease in your life where, you know, like there's so much there to play with and just enjoy the heck out of it because, you know, you're here once, you know, why not?
Absolutely. It's like not to sit on the fence, just go for it, have fun, choose exactly. For you 100%. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
No, that's so cool. Fiona, thanks so much for coming on this week. I love meeting you in person, but it's wonderful having you on the radio show as well. And I hope to see you very soon. Bye for now.
Take care. Thank you so much.